You know, next Sunday's Easter Sunday. We're all thinking about Jesus. But in preparation for that, I want to ask you a question. Who do you say Jesus is? In Matthew 16, 13, I'll give you a chance to turn there. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Now here, Jesus is simply asking them a question. Who do other people say that I am? And they gave him an answer. Probably, if you had asked some other people, some people would have said, "Well, he's the son of Joseph, born in Bethlehem, living in Nazareth. We know his family." Somebody else might have said, "Well, he's a trickster. He's a fraud. He's a blasphemer of sacred things," if you'd asked some of the religious cult people. Then you asked some scholars, and they would have said, "Well, they agree that Jesus was a real person in history." Others might simply just say he was a great person. Some would say he is a prophet, and he was that, and much more. But then in 16:15, he got personal. He said, "But who do you say that I am?" Now, you see, he was asking them what others thought, and they told him. But now it's personal. They have to make a personal declaration of who Jesus is. And Peter said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know, it's easy to talk about what other people say about Jesus. It's even easy to talk about what the Bible says about Jesus. You know, sometimes in school, the teacher will ask you a question, you know, wanting an answer to a question. They've gone around the room, asked several people a question. And if you simply reply by saying what some of the other people have said, they'll come back at you and say, "Yeah, but I want your answer." Anybody ever know? Everybody need that? Yeah. You see, they want to know what you say about that. I know, I remember in a class that I didn't like very much in college, it was an English literature class. And you can tell that I'm not too much on that stuff. And so now this teacher, professor, Professor Harrison, that's what she taught. I loved her husband. Her husband taught, he taught theology and church history and stuff. And man, I didn't care too much for her. So she's asking all these questions about, "Now, I don't know about Shakespeare," I think it was. And so she went around the room asking everybody. And she got to me, and I didn't have much to say. And so I sort of said what somebody else said. She said, "That's not what I asked you. I want your answer. What do you think about this poem," or whatever it was. And I had to try to come up with something. And that's the way a lot of people do about Jesus. If they're pinned down, it's hard for them to really come out and tell you. They can quote what somebody else said. They can tell you what their parents might have said. They can tell you what their friend said. But when it's all said and done, what matters is what you personally say about who Jesus is. It's very important. Now, the Bible says Jesus was the Word who was made flesh and dwelt among us. In John 1:1, and then we'll skip to verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now there's four things that we see here. In the beginning was the Word. This shows us that Jesus was there with God and the Holy Spirit in the beginning with the Father. And the Word was with God. Then it says the Word was God. This shows us that Jesus is deity. And then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's four things that John tells us there. Now, John declares that Jesus was the eternal Word manifested in the flesh. For 33 years, Jesus lived walking in 100% agreement with God and the Word. In fact, he demonstrated the Word as he lived as a man down here so that we could live as a man, mankind, I mean, that we could live that same kind of life. Now, you know, one guy, J. Baxter, said this. Fundamentally, our Lord's message was himself. He did not come merely to preach the gospel. He himself was the gospel. He did not come merely to give bread. He said, I am the bread. He did not come merely to shed light. He said, I am the light. He did not come to merely show you the door. He said, I am the door. He didn't come to merely show you a shepherd. He said, I am the shepherd. He didn't come to point the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. See, there's one thing we can say with John. Jesus is the Word of God personified. Now, in John's day, there were groups that were, called themselves Christians, but they denied that Jesus was really flesh and blood. They claimed that Jesus was just a phantom. He didn't really manifest in the flesh. And this will really help you understand John's writings when you see the numerous occasions that he made reference to Jesus, the living Word, in the Gospel of John, as well as in his three epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Now, the question really comes down to it, who do you say that Jesus is? Do you say, well, he's what the Bible says he is? Or do you say what you heard somebody else say about him? You know, Daniel Webster, story is told that he was dining one evening with a group of literary people in Boston, men. And during the dinner, the conversation turned to Christianity. And Mr. Webster frankly stated his belief in the divinity of Christ and his dependence upon the atonement of the Savior. One man said to him, Mr. Webster, can you comprehend how Christ could be both God and man? Mr. Webster promptly replied, no, sir, I cannot comprehend it. If I could comprehend it, he would be no greater than myself, and I feel I need a superhuman Savior. Hello. Now, whether we admit it or not, we all need a Savior. Somebody that's bigger than we are. Now, number two, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the Word that was sent to save mankind. 1 Peter 1:23. I'll let you turn there. See, I'm establishing who Jesus is, and then you have to make a decision of who you say he is. The Bible tells us who he is, and I'm establishing that. Okay? Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides. Now, the NLT says it like this: your life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living Word of God. The Message says your birth comes from the God's living Word. Just think, a life conceived by God Himself. You see, we understand through the Word of God that Jesus came to be our Savior. Now, you know, you can find out all of this by reading the Word. Now, here we got to look. The written Word, the living Word. They're one and the same. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. He was the living Word. This is the written Word. By acting on the knowledge of the Bible, we receive everything that the living Word obtained for us. And it's written in the written Word. Right here for us. Now, what we must realize that the Bible points us to the living Word, the written Word, the living Word. Hold your Bible up or your device that's got you by. Say, this is the written Word. Jesus was the living Word. You see, you know, we could read this like this: having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through Jesus Christ, which lives and abides forever. Because it said the Word through the Word. And in the Bible plainly tells us Jesus was the Word. Doesn't it? Hello. So we can say we're born again by the truth of the written Word, which is the Bible. We can also say we are born again by the sacrifice of the living Word, which is Jesus Christ. What I want you to get a hold of is that the living Word, Jesus, and the written Word, the Bible, are in essence the same. How many understand what I'm saying to you? You see, I realize this is a little bit theological, but so many times we do not understand that the living Word and the written Word are one and the same. Jesus was the living Word. He lived it, and we have the written Word so that we can live it. Hello. You know, at some point in each of our lives, we have to come, or will be given the opportunity, to declare who Jesus is personally. Now, I don't know what the other disciples said, because the Bible doesn't tell us what the other disciples said. The Bible only tells us what Peter said. Now, will we declare Jesus is the Son of Man who came to save the world? Will we say Jesus is my Lord and Savior? Remember, who you say Jesus is will determine what you get from Him. Amen. What you receive. Now, as we look into this, the Bible says that Jesus is the Word that was sent to heal us. He was the Word that was sent for our salvation. He is the Word that was sent for our healing. Now go to Psalms 107:20. 107:20. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Amen. Now, you know, okay, the Word, here it is, the written Word. But wait a minute. This Acts scripture actually carries a two-fold meaning with it. This refers to the living Word, but it also refers to the written Word, which contains the promise of healing for mankind. The living Word, Jesus Christ, took the stripes upon his back for our healing. Now you see, we can see here the psalmist is calling the Word. Well, who is the Word? Jesus. Huh? Jesus. Who is the Word? Jesus. And this is the Word. Amen. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. Now, Jesus fulfilled the written word of the Old Testament. He became the living word that fulfilled the written word of the Old Testament. Now, centuries before the living word ever came, the prophet said in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, most of you know it, but I'll let you turn there. Now, I realize this is not real exciting, but sometimes, we're not jumping and shouting, but sometimes real truth is more exciting than the jumping and the shout, because it carries something with it that is vitally important. You know, we will celebrate all of this, what I'm teaching, the culmination of it came when he died on the cross, which we will celebrate next Sunday. Okay, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Amen. Now this was this is centuries before Christ ever came. Amen. But you see, it was in the written word. And so when Christ came, the living word, he fulfilled all that was written about him coming and being the living word. Now, the complete Jewish Bible says it like this. In fact, it was our diseases he bore, our pains from which he suffered. Yet we regard him as punished, stricken, and afflicted by God. But he was wounded because of our crimes. He was crushed because of our sins. The discipline that makes us whole fell on him, and by his bruises we are healed. Now you probably notice I will quote and say, by his stripes we're healed. But when we're doing the communion, I say his battered, beaten, and bruised body. Anybody ever notice that I say that? And this is exactly what the Jewish Bible says. By his bruises we are healed. It was, yes, he took the stripes, but his body was beaten and broken also and bruised. But he shed the blood for our redemption of sin. Okay? Our forgiveness of sin. Now, you got to understand that in the Old Testament, the type of the living word coming is every year they had the Day of Atonement, in which they would kill the lamb that was perfect, and they would take the blood, rub it on the head and on the body of a goat, and they called it the scapegoat, and they would turn it loose in the wilderness. Then they would continue to burn at the altar there, the brazen altar there in the courtyard of the tabernacle. They would sacrifice this, and it became a covering for their sin. That was a type of the living word that came and shed his blood on Calvary once and for all, the Lamb of God, so that we not are covered, we're completely redeemed, completely cleansed from our sin. And we don't have to go and do it every day or every year. As long as we live in line with the written word, what the living word did for us will become a reality in our lives. Hallelujah. Anybody getting anything out of this? You know, unfortunately, too many people and even church groups, they have no problem with Christ dying on the cross for our redemption, But then they have a problem with the healing part. And yet, if you're going to have part of the living word, you got to have all of it. Amen. You can't just pick and choose. Hello. You know, well, God is sovereign and he does what he wants to do. Well, that would imply then that God is a respecter of person because he goes around picking and choosing which one he wants to heal and wants to leave the rest of them sick and afflicted. And that's not our God. See, what they fail to see is that it's the whole package. It's the whole package. That in everything that was there in the written word, which is a type of the living word that came and lived it out on the earth. You see, there are too many scriptures, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that talk about Christ the healer as well as Christ the forgiver of sins. Amen. See, there's a fellow that I'm named after in his book, Healing Belongs to Us, said, not only did God make Jesus who knew no sin to be sin, see, Jesus didn't sin. He willfully took it. Remember in the garden he said, if this cup can pass from me, let it be, but if not, I'm going to drink it. And that was the cup of sin. But in the literal Hebrew, the words of Isaiah 53:10 tells us that God made Jesus who knew no sickness to be sickness. He made him sick with our diseases so that we might be perfectly well in Christ. Now, Young's literal translation of 53:10, Jehovah hath delighted to bruise him, he hath made him sick. That's Young's literal translation of that Isaiah 53:10. Sometimes we get a better look at this when we look at it in some different translations, you know. Now, so, now, who do you say Jesus is? Well, you have to say he's a redeemer. You have to say he's a healer, right? See, the word came and healed us. Isn't that what it says? So many times we don't grasp, and how do I say this? We don't really grasp the entirety of the written word, the Logos, and the living word, Jesus Christ. The Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Is that not so? He was the living Word. We have this as the written word that tells us what the living word in the Old Testament, it tells us the prophecies of what the living word would be. The living word came and was, and now we have that written in the New Testament. And so here we are. We got to recognize that Jesus and the living word, the written word, are one and the same. And sometimes we don't do that. We don't put the two together. You know, some people think that if Jesus would show up, things would be a lot better. Hey, they don't understand that we have Jesus, the written word, right here with us, which is just as powerful as Jesus, the living word. You see, by speaking the written word, you are speaking Jesus, the living word. You know, by speaking this, you are speaking and understanding this, you are there as if the literal word was there. And, you know, so many times in modern day charismatics, I guess you might say, and others too, they don't pay too much attention to the Old Testament. And some people hardly have ever read in the Old Testament. But Paul says that everything in the Old Testament happens as examples for us. Now, when we stop and think about it, when we read the prophecies of the Old Testament, we can see that Jesus Christ came and was the example of the Old Testament. That's right. And then what happened to the children of Israel in the historical books part of the Old Testament is what we can see that they did that helped them and what they did that hindered them. Amen. You know, one of the greatest things that they did, that one of the greatest hindrances to the children of Israel. And see, we're the children of God in this era. See, Acts didn't stop at chapter 28. Right. Acts is still alive. The church is still here. That's the Acts of the early church. We're still here. We're still writing the book of Acts. And we will be until Jesus comes and takes the church out. And then all of the Daniel and Ezekiel and Revelation scripture concerning the end time will then become then come into fruition. For y'all that don't know, Daniel had a prophecy, and it was a 70-week prophecy, and we are living in between the 69th and the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. That's the church age. I realize that I'm getting into a lot of deep theology that I'm just hitting the high tops on. But I see some people looking at me and say, well, I didn't know Pastor knew all that. Yeah, I probably know more than you think I do. But what I'm trying to get across to you this morning is, and I want to get you to understand that we had the living word and we got the written word. The living word came and showed us all that the written word is supposed to do for us. So when we read the written word, we're actually reading the living word. Hello, come on now. See, by speaking the written word, you actually access the power of God just as if Jesus, the living word, was right there at the same time. Because you see, he has given us, the living word gave us the power of attorney. He said to his disciples, up until this time you have asked nothing in my name. But after this, if you ask in my name, the Father will do it. So when you go and ask the Father, it's as if Jesus himself is asking him. That's what he's saying. Hello. Anybody understand? Anybody ever had the power of attorney? When you have the power of attorney, you are speaking just as if the person that gave you that right. Amen. It carries the same weight. Am I right? Yes, sir. So Jesus, the living word, in the written word, gave us the right to use the living word's name, Jesus. That's the living word. His name was Jesus. Yes. The written word is Logos. Amen. Hello. So we speak what the living word had to say, and it's just for God, as the way God looks at it, is it's if the living word, Jesus, is speaking it. Amen. Come on now. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I think we, if you're not careful, you can make this a difficult situation when it's really simple. It's just the living word came and lived. The written word is there. Actually, the written word was there before the living word ever came. And he confirmed the old part of the living word and made the New Testament. See, it says there, Paul says that the New Testament is a new covenant established on better promises through Jesus Christ, which is the living word. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know whether this will help y'all or not, but, you know, I just tried to very simply talk to us about who Jesus really is. Amen. So that when we celebrate next Sunday, we celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection, we can realize what we're really celebrating. Amen. We're celebrating the living word, you know. And today, as we look into the written word, let us recognize that the same power in the written word is the same power that was in the living word. Amen. He became flesh and dwelt among us. The word was with God, and the word was God. Hallelujah. Amen. See, oh, here's a good thought. Just brought to me. I didn't even have it written down. When we speak the written word to the enemy, it's as if the living word is speaking to the enemy. Whoa, man, oh man. Woo. That made cold chills go up about my spine. Hallelujah. When I speak the written word to the enemy that's coming against me, Satan himself, it's as if the living word, Jesus, is speaking to him. And you already know what Jesus did to the devil. He defeated him and put him down and put him under. The living word put the devil under. And when I talk to the devil, it's as if the living word is all talking to him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo. Let's stand up and praise God. I'm just going to end on that note. That's a good one to end on right there. You know, sometimes you have to learn when is the time to end your message. And that's a good time to end the message. On the high spot. Amen. Glory to God. Let's thank God for the living word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the living word. Because the living word lives inside of us, we can speak with authority, and the devil has to obey. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus Christ, our Savior, our baptizer, our soon coming King. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. You got something? All right. Go.
The same power that crushed the enemy. The same power, the same power lives in me. The same power.
Tell the story all the time about We had a guy that, you know, they don't fail people now, but back when I went to school, if you didn't pass, they failed you. And we had a guy that, we had a guy in the sixth grade that he's supposed to be in eighth grade, and he's always bullying everybody. And finally, my buddy Charles Killian, he finally, he had all he could take, and he whipped him. And after that, you know, all you had to do is say to him, you won't get what Charles give you, I'll give it to you. Either back off or get out of the way. But do you know what? Some of the people, he would come at them and they'd still cow down to him, and yet they saw that he could be defeated. They saw Charles do it. So, hey, that's the way some people are. The devil's defeating them because they just letting him.
Yeah.
All they got to do is rise up in the living word that's living on the inside of them and say, hey, you want some more of it? I'll give it to you right now. Jesus already gave it to you once. I'll give you some more right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Where did anybody get anything out of this today? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bow your heads for just a moment, please. You know, I never like to have a service that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus, you know, or to rededicate their life. There's a lot of people that knew Jesus when they were kids or even afterwards, but they're not where they should be and not living like they know they should, and they just need to come on rededication. Or there's a lot of people that have been going to church all their life and they don't know whether they've ever actually really themselves ever confessed Jesus and said, he is my Lord and Savior. If you need Christ in here today, if you need to rededicate yourself to God, if you've been going to church all your life and you don't know whether you've been born, you don't know whether you've ever accepted him or not. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, let me see your hand anywhere in this room, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere, let me see your hand. You need Christ. You need to rededicate your life. Let me see anybody, ushers, help me because I can't see with these lights. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Well, you know, we do believe in receiving the Holy Spirit around here. That's what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. It's not church creed or doctrine, what the Bible says. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit as the Spirit gave them utterance. Anybody want to be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning? Let me see your hand. Anybody in the room, anywhere, want to receive the Holy Spirit? I don't see any hands. Praise God. Let's lift our hands and thank God. Thank God, Father, we thank you. If there happened to be one person under the sound of my voice that was in any of those three invitations, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would go with them and they won't be able to do anything until they stop and accept you, Son, as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen and amen. Well, don't forget all the announcements that they're on this bulletin. If you don't have a bulletin, get one. Staff, you can leave now. Go to the doors. Connection team, go find first-time guests and take them to the connection room to get that special gift that we put together for them. Flash, there it is. I'm at the west door today. That's over here. And there's where all the rest of them are going to be. So if you want to see any of the staff, that's where we're at, okay? Praise the Lord. Tonight, 6 o'clock, be right here. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Hour of Power. Come believe and come expecting. For you that don't know, we sing a chorus to let me get out especially. And we'll be there to shake your hands. We'll see you Wednesday tonight. All right? God bless, and Wednesday night. God bless. We'll see you.